For those with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, you may be missing a hidden signal from your kidneys, an SOS for an increased risk of cardiovascular events like heart attack or stroke. The mission? Detect the SOS. Start at DetectTheSOS.com. Learn how a simple UACR urine test can help identify kidney damage early. Talk to your doctor about getting screened. Go to DetectTheSOS.com to learn more about UACR urine testing today. Brought to you by Boehringer Ingelheim Pharmaceuticals, Inc.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
All this week we've been discussing different aspects of living with ADHD as an adult, from getting a diagnosis, parenting with ADHD, navigating relationships, and we want to chat a little today about how we as a society could maybe make things that bit better. John Slattery from Trilogy Media is with me here in studio today. When were you diagnosed, John?
I think about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, so very late diagnosis, yeah.
How did it come about that you sought a diagnosis, sir?
I think it was Kira is my wife, my other half. Also, I worked with Kira for years in TV before we got together. And she kind of said to me, you probably should go for an ADHD diagnosis because you probably have it. Knowing that I already had it, she knew that I had it. So I just went and got it. And it's been transformative because I think the key with ADHD is, I mean, you hear a lot of talk about it, but the key with it is once you know what it is and you understand it, you can better live with it.
Yeah, so you think your management of it now is better than...
I wouldn't say management, no. I'd say more, a better understanding of why you are the way you are. So basically, I know that I overshare all the time. I know that in certain social situations, I can be quite awkward. I work very hard to be neurotypical, even though I'm neurodivergent, to be in neurotypical situations. So you just use mechanisms to help do that, do you know what I mean? Mm. But the key thing is understanding why you are, and also the whole RSD thing, or the whole, all the other elements that come with ADHD. Because ADHD is one of those things where I'm not sure it's a gift, so to speak, but it's definitely, I wouldn't change myself. I love the fact I'm ADHD.
And we've been talking a little bit about getting a diagnosis, you know, and over the last couple of days, why people do so, you know, like yourself, even in adulthood, and the impact of that and management of that. Like, I suppose maybe from a different perspective, how can we as a society reduce maybe perhaps any stigma that's there, make things that little bit easier, make it better? How do we do that?
I suppose by doing exactly what you've done all this week is talking about it, because I think the minute you mention to ADHD to a certain sect of people, they kind of go, oh, it's a bad thing. And if you mention it to other people, it's they've got a completely different view on it. So I think talking about it is really key. I think for someone who has ADHD, who grew up in a generation where basically it didn't exist. So I'm dyslexic as well, on top of being ADHD. So education system was the wrong place to put me. I'm like a square peg that hasn't been invented the hole to put it into for the education system. But I was the child that my grandmother, my mum's mum, used to say, are you bringing him over, the bowl child? I was the bowl child. I was the hyper child. And the stats are out there. Like, literally, they say that ADHD children by the age of 10 or 12 have 20,000 more negative interactions by the time they reach 10 or 12. And that's down to the fact of what, sit down. Mm. Why do you do that? Concentrate. Why can't you concentrate? What's wrong with you? All that.
And that's this sister, this brother.
Be like that. Why can't you be more like that person? So you grow up in this whole negative environment, and then you end up having RSD, which is rejection sensitive dysphoria, which is a thing basically, if you say to me, you know, oh, that's not very good, the thing you did yesterday. Most neurotypical people would kind of go, oh, okay. Me, I go into a hole. It's visceral. It's horrendous. I now understand that I've RSD, and I then can kind of go, oh, hold on, let's stop here, John, in my head.
Yeah.
You need to kind of think, it's RSD, relax, calm down, you're not that bad. Because that's the other thing, you might get 20,000 negative reactions from the age up to the age of 10 or 12, but it's not half as bad as you have in your own head, telling you how crap you are, you're not good at this, you know. So you better understand all that sort of stuff, which didn't really answer your question. But if you can explain that to the general public, and they can better understand that, well, then they better understand why you are the way you are. You say stuff in company and people are, what's wrong with him? Do you know what I mean? Because it comes out, you don't have the filters to stop yourself talking.
I've actually found the week to be highly informative, you know, and I think even from the engagement we've had from listeners who maybe just perhaps didn't know an awful lot about ADHD, or maybe they know certain elements of it, you know, but not maybe the wider or the broader scope of it. Fiona Meehan is a school principal in Cork. Fiona's with us here, John, on the line as well. Fiona, from in the education realm, how can we better improve things?
Good afternoon, Andre and John. I suppose from listening to John, it's very interesting because a lot of what I would think or see in school is exactly what John has experienced and mentioning about that negativity. And I would see my experience with children with ADHD, they are their own worst critic. Nobody has to say anything to them externally. They are already thinking it. I suppose what I would say in an educational setting, I think, again, what John is saying about a wider conversation, awareness and understanding are key. If you don't understand, I mean, we'll never fully understand if it's not your own brain, but just that piece of raising awareness with staff, parents and with the children. So even programs like ADHD Ireland run fantastic programs for schools and for parents. And then there are great resources for teaching children about neurodiversity, like the LEANS program from the University of Edinburgh, which is a free resource for primary schools. I think it's key. If you don't understand, if you're not aware, then how can you see, you know, how can you support somebody? And I suppose us as a school, we're very privileged to have a really nurturing team where we put relationships first. So the whole child, looking at them as a person, as John said, it's not just about their behaviour. Mm. This is a child. And I suppose that can't be stressed enough because it can become more challenging, I think, if you go into second level because it's a different system. But I suppose we're privileged at primary level that we teach the whole child and we see them. And I suppose one thing that when John, reflecting John, is that behaviour is just communication. I mean, it's really, really sad to hear him saying, you know, mentioned as, are you the, you know, bringing over the bold child? I mean, really, our kids, the behaviour is just telling us they're not fitting in. They are not, the system that exists doesn't work for them. And it's with that sense of overwhelm or their perceived demands can lead to a child, as I call it, the no child. They just, everything is no. It's not that they mean no, but that is how they react with the world and what's been asked of them. So I suppose for us, things like really simple things, adapting the environment, creating spaces, nurturing spaces, quiet areas, even within the classroom, we would have, you know, spaces in every classroom, flexible seating, outdoor learning, alternatives. I mean, some people be familiar with the Universal Design for Learning, which came from the world of architecture. But just even looking at a child, and John probably has experienced this, what my experience with children with ADHD is, if you start from what they're interested in, they're highly motivated. So using that when you're in school, using their interests as a way of motivating them to learn, looking at how, you know, in schools we represent information to children in multiple ways, you know, through visuals, digital videos, audio, as well as written text.
Yeah.
So just creating that diversity for different learning styles. And then I suppose allowing children, and this is a big one that we're really working on, allowing children to present their work in a way that makes sense to them. So it doesn't always have to be written answers. It can be a short video on TikTok. It can be doing a mind map or a poster or a drawing. So, or an oral presentation. Some children prefer to just give
their, there's probably
answers.
So many more now options,
no,
John.
And, you know, I think, Fiona, you're hitting the nail on the head with all that sort of stuff. I mean, a prime example of me, I always say to people, you know, when a child won't sit down at a dinner table or something like that, well, I say, well, why, to a neurotypical person that doesn't understand, okay, can I give you an example? Why don't you stand up and keep walking around in the restaurant? And they kind of go, why would I do that? Exactly. Well, why would the neurodivergent child sit down all the time? Because that's completely unnatural for the neurodivergent child, is while it's unusual for a neurotypical person to stand up and walk around a restaurant and stuff like that. But I think it's really important. And I had that when I started in media, I started in radio and then got into television. I had a hyper focus, which is what Fiona's talking about there, in terms of if you tell an ADHD person to do something and they don't want to do it, you're not going to get them to do it. It's as simple as that. Your brain isn't programmed for that. But if you tell me I can't do something, or I have an interest in something, I will move the earth, moon and the stars. I went to the UK knowing nobody to present shows over there, to be a presenter, leaving RTE back in the early noughties, and literally knew nobody. But I was so determined because I had a hyper focus and I ended up being on Countryfile and all those things. But that's the key with it. At the positives of it.
So Ken Kilbride, CEO of ADHD Ireland, is back with us, and you were with us kind of a little earlier in the week as well. I mean, just in kind of maybe summarising a lot of what we've learned and taken away from this week, from ADHD Ireland's perspective, how can we improve how society better handles ADHD?
Just, we were doing an event called Neuroconvergence last weekend out in UCD, and the guy who was presenting was Mick, because he has ADHD himself. He just got a late diagnosis. And he quoted back to me, he said, You're saying Ken's always saying when Ken's doing talks, he always says, you know, the children with ADHD don't get invited to the birthday, don't get invited to the play date. He says, Ken, you're wrong. I did get invited. I just never got invited back.
Right.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
Where we come from in ADHD, we say that ADHD is not the problem. It's how people react to it. Having ADHD is fine. It's just the way people get the low self-esteem and the stigma that goes with condition.
With it, yeah.
So if we can change that through the particularly the education system and then into work, but then we're going to make life better for people with ADHD 10, 15 years from now.
And how do we reduce that or change the stigma?
There's a lot of work to be done. And again, Fiona was talking about there, we talk about, you know, getting the awareness of ADHD, but we also need to get the acceptance of ADHD that, you know, people go that it is just a different way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, for people, you know, it's cars with petrol, cars with diesel. It's not better, it's not worse.
They
it's
do the
simple
same thing.
As that.
They do,
yeah.
They all do the same thing.
I also think it's really important that, yes, I think the neurotypical world and the general public should know that, but I think it's also empowering people with ADHD, because I think I don't see ADHD as a negative. Mm-hmm. I genuinely mm-hmm. don't. I think it's an amazing to have, you know, if you want somebody in a situation when their ex hits the fan, you want an ADHD person, because we thrive in those scenarios. But I think it's key to give the voice to the people with ADHD to talk about it, because they can best understand it once they've understood it themselves. And not see it as a negative. I mean, people, if you have a negative view of ADHD, just find out a bit more about it, because it's not a bad, it's a great thing to have.
It's been really interesting, you know, throughout the week, actually, just the learning process of even talking about it from, you know, the school classroom, the even just the diagnostic process. And
Makira, my other half, is autistic and ADHD. And she will say, and she's told me to say this, by the way, I'll be shot if I don't say this, but girls don't, they're slightly different to guys and males in terms of their hyperactivity when they're younger is in their head, not necessarily physically in a lot of girls. So, which I think is probably more difficult to do. So their mind is going a million times more. So I think the key is that not everybody is atypical. There's no one ADHD person. Everybody's got their own different strands. Yeah.
If you want to listen back to our, the information, the conversations about this throughout the week, the podcasts, they're all on the Go Loud app. You can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. If you want to share your own story, drop us an email over the weekend. That's Lunchtime Live at newstalk.com. For the moment, though, John Slattery from Trilogy Media, Ken Kilbride from ADHD Ireland, and Fiona Meehan, school principal there in Cork. Thanks a million to you all for joining us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.